is Saturday. It is February 23rd, 2019. This is Deanna Spingola, and I'm broadcasting from the Chicago suburbs, where the weatherman says we're going to have more snow tomorrow. Just think, spring is right around the corner. Thank goodness. I appreciate you joining me today at republicbroadcasting.org, and I invite you to visit and subscribe to SpingolaSpeaks.net, where you can look at the archives of the program. You may also listen to the archives at republicbroadcasting.org, and you should subscribe to the archives there. I also invite you to visit and subscribe to ScreeningSandyHook.net. During the program, email questions or comments to comment@spingola.email. And if you inadvertently add an S to comment, it's fine. It will still reach me. And if you want to ask questions and you don't want to call into the program, then visit the chat room, which is at spingola.chatango.com, or just send me an email at comment@spingola.email. Now, I know I say this every week, and probably I always say things just once, and I think, oh, people will get it, but that's just not the case. I notice that professional broadcasters repeat things several times, and I'm definitely not what you would consider a professional broadcaster, even though I've been doing this for some time, over 8 years. Anyway, you can view our past, current, and future guest lineup at spingola.com, where you will find the schedule all the way back to October 23rd, 2010. Just visit spingola.com, click on the radio schedule button on the left, choose the appropriate year and month, and see all of the links and other resources available there. Our guest today is Lois Letchford, L-E-T-C-H-F-O-R-D. Her website is LoisLetchford.com. Lois is the author of Reversed, a memoir available everywhere books are sold, and is available in paperback, hardcover, and ebook. I have the ebook edition. And Reversed is such an amazing story. I was brought to tears several times reading this book. Reversed is a memoir of profound determination that follows the highs and lows of overcoming impossible odds, turning one woman into a passionate teacher for children who have been left behind. Yet nothing is impossible when one digs deep and looks at the students through a new lens, which is what Lois did. And bless her heart, what an amazing story. Lois, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's lovely to be on your show.
Well, it's wonderful to have you on the program. It's wonderful to read your book. It's just an amazing thing. I could really relate to it, some of the things you wrote, and the fact that you're a mom, I'm a mom, that we would do anything for our children to help them to succeed and to overcome their challenges. And you did such an amazing thing, and you had faith in your son, and I so enjoyed the story of the swim coach, which was what a fabulous guy he was. And then as I was reading further in some of the other other modalities that you use, I thought, well, the swimming was perfect for Nicholas because it was
the swimming. Yes.
So anyway, tell us about this beautiful son of yours, who is now a professor.
And he's not a professor. He's a doctor. He's Dr. Nicholas Letchford. Yeah. He's a consultant now.
That is so amazing. It is just so wonderful. Mm. And yes, he is. And he went to Oxford.
He went to Oxford after being in high school in Lubbock, Texas.
Amazing. That is just terrific. And there's a picture of him on your website. And again, that website is loisletchford.com. And that's LETCHFORD. And this story starts out in Brisbane, Australia. So tell us a little bit of background about this wonderful, wonderful son, Nicholas.
Well, Nicholas went to school, and I was very concerned about sending him to school because he seemed slow. And when children are behind and you send them to school, you don't really quite know what's going to happen. And it was a disaster. And he could not even dress himself for school once during the school year. So that was the start of the story and the start of the journey. And it's only recently that I realized the implication for that terrible year of school. So that was the start of it. And yeah, it was terrible. My poor boy, you know, he's 30 now, and I asked him about this year, and he couldn't even talk.
Oh, bless his heart. That must have been so trying for him. I'm very emotional when it comes to children. And when I was reading about the day that, you know, you'd pick him up and he just, you tell it. You tell us.
I pick him up from school, and he, you know, he just, even the first day of school, he just wants to go home. And the second, the day six of school, I'll never forget it, the teacher said, well, you know, he can't do anything. He's so far behind, he'll never catch up. And that memory is still in my mind. It was horrendous listening to the teacher say these things about a little six-year-old child. And as I write and rewrite now, her mindset was made up there and then. This child is so dumb, it doesn't matter what I do or what I say, he won't do anything. And she was so wrong. And it's how we cannot tell the IQs of children at 6 years old.
The other thing, too, is that I think her attitude, I think that Nicholas could sense her attitude. And, of course, he was going to be stressed out. And this stress led to his daily, he urinated his pants daily. Yes. That's probably due to the stress he was feeling, being in a classroom where the teacher has absolutely no respect for you as a human being and has no hope for you. That poor little child. What a stressful situation. And of course, you had a younger son, and Nathaniel was doing great. And you were doing what was expected, and this was again in Australia. And what a trying situation for the entire family, and particularly for him.
If I were to do it again, I would have taken him out of school.
The second day, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I should have taken him out. We should not let our children sit in such stressful situations that they cannot talk about it 20 years later.
Yes. And I've said the same thing. If I had it to do over again, I would have. But
yes.
But you gained wisdom through it, and he overcame it. That is the beauty of him.
Yes.
And then he had this wonderful swim coach, Bob Kozak.
Yes. Yes.
And he thrived. Your little Nicholas thrived. And so you had two teachers to compare. The one was just amazing with him and was intuitive and listened and honed in on Nicholas and what his were. And then you had this horrible other teacher who was just set in her way. She'd been teaching there for 30 years, which, of course, made her an expert, quote-unquote, right?
And we were in a high socioeconomic area.
Sure.
We are at the best school, the school that everyone wants to go to, and this is what happens.
Yes. Yes. And I personally am against government schools. I just think that there are better options, and particularly for, and I don't even consider, would you consider Nicholas a special needs child or just a special child who saw the world differently?
I like the second version better.
Yes. Yes, I do too.
Yes, I certainly like that. You know, he's a special child. And I want children, you know, as I think about this and I teach children who struggle with reading, I want teachers to know how impactful their teaching is. And I want children to be in the regular classroom with teachers with knowledge.
Absolutely. But the other thing that was so impressive was the school play, The Giant Turnip.
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
He had memorized every single word. Every single word.
Yes.
Wasn't that amazing? Which disproved what the teacher said. Absolutely disproved it. And
that was memory. What was important about that was that she's not reading, it was acting. It was a total change in reading strategy, which was so important.
Yes.
Yes, yeah. So, you know, that was phenomenal. And that really did show me this kid has an amazing memory.
Yes. Yeah, I just love that story. And your parents lived, what was it, 50 minutes away? Or very close.
Yes.
And when they came to visit, she brought her bird. Was it a parakeet? They call it different.
They call it budgerigar in Australia. It's a little budgerigar. Oh, yes.
he must have been quite the sweet little pet.
Oh, my. Yes. My mother had a number of those parakeets, because they would fly in her house. And, you know, you do silly. Well, hers was a pet.
Right.
Hers was a pet, but she had it flying in the house.
Oh, right, okay.
And I went to the windows, you know, these white windows, to shut the window with my bird on the shoulder, and it flew out.
Uh-oh. Whoops.
Oh, and then I had to go and chase him, and then the other birds were attacking him, and we got him back that time. But other times we didn't get him back.
Oh, wow. Anyway.
Oh, that was so funny. Anyway.
Nicholas had a great relationship with your parents. And
yes.
What a special person he was.
Yes, my dear.
Yes.
Yes.
So, anyway, tell us what you did to help him.
Well, the first thing that happened was when he went into the second grade, the teacher gave me a set of spelling words that made learning so easy. She gave a word, the words list was cat, hat, rat, bat, you know, all rhyming words in one different word.
Mm-hmm.
And it allowed me, you know, Nicholas came to me and said, can you help me with my spelling words? And he sat at the table with a pencil and paper, his shoulders hunched up to his ears. As I said, now write this word. And he couldn't even write a letter. He didn't know where to start. And my heart just sank because I thought, this kid doesn't know a thing. And I took him outside and played with clay. We worked with clay. And it was phenomenal. And the other part that's interesting about this was he worked with me for an hour and a half after school. Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday. And then Thursday evening we used alphabet letters and wrote it in pencil. And Friday morning I tested him orally. And that happened for about 6 weeks until he was confident he could know all the letters, know the sounds, and how to write each one.
Wow.
Yeah. It's amazing even to think about it. You know, this little six-and-a-half-year-old boy was so intent on achieving his goals even then.
Yes, he was. Or he wouldn't be where he is now.
Yes.
And he loves books. He loved books. He loved reading.
Yes. Yes. Yes, he loves all sorts of things. He's amazing. Even now, the things he reads, I can't read.
And you had a background in education. And your husband, Chris, also was a professor. And and you had the opportunity, or do I call it an opportunity, or the challenge of moving sometimes to different places for 6 month period of time, which would have been kind of exciting in certain circumstances, but was kind of a challenge. Well, you know, how would Nicholas handle this challenge of moving and having changes? And go ahead.
Yes, no, the move to Oxford for 6 months, you're right. It's both exciting and a challenge. It's very hard on me.
Right.
Very hard. And you're really dependent on the graces of people you meet. And you just don't quite know what's happened. And we had a big house and my parents were with us just a couple of days. But my parents-in-law stayed with us for about on and off for 2 months. And that was incredible to have them there with us. But the experience actually changed Nicholas's life.
Yes.
It changed his life. And I'm still going, how did this happen? How did this all line up to be such a critical component of his learning? Because I can tell you what would have happened if we had never left Australia. He would have been put with a special ed reading teacher. He would have been given phonics. He would have been told, this is how you learn. And he would not have been able to do it.
Right.
And the teacher, the reading.
We are going to a quick 3-minute break. We will be right back. We'll be right back.
Perfect.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good, to live in harmony. It starts with you and me.
All righty, we are back, and my guest today is Lois Letchford, and her website is loisletchford.com. And you were telling us before we went to the break about the schedule that that Nicholas was to have in the second grade, which seemed overwhelming to me. He was going to have all of these various teachers and various programs, and it seemed so overwhelming to me, and it also seemed like it would categorize him as special needs, which I don't think he was. I think he was special,
You're exactly right. It's interesting to read the literature around this and how mindset plays a role. He had had an IQ test, which said he wasn't very smart. He'd had the failure in first grade, which said he wasn't very smart. Then you have the teaching that does the normal and the standard for this child who's different. And it all forms a nice little circuit. Well, he can't read. He can't do it because, you know, and that's the cycle that has to be broken.
Indeed. Yes, each child is special. Each child is different. And you watched a TV program that was very interesting to me. And the program was A New Start for Underachievers. I don't like to even say he's an underachiever. When I first started reading the book, I thought he's an empath. He just has a different way of looking at things. He's introspective. He just appreciates different aspects of the world than maybe somebody else.
He certainly does. And there are two components to his life that made a difference. And one is that I myself would be dyslexic. And the second was that he had ear infections from 8 to 18 months.
Oh.
And ear infections impact brain growth.
Oh, my
gosh. It impacts language. Yes, it impacts language development.
Oh, my gosh.
And
now yes. from how old to how old?
8 to 18 months. Critical component when the brain is growing and absorbing language. Yes.
And so he probably had allergies?
Possibly, yes.
Oh,
undiagnosed.
My. Yes. Sometimes the ear infections are a result of vaccines and things. I had ear infections. Oh gosh, it was just up until I was 8. I had a mastoid infection.
Oh.
It was a terrible situation. I missed a lot of school because of it. And
yeah.
They're very painful. And
yes.
I remember how awful it was.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I attributed that to vaccines later.
That was very much. I just wonder how much comes from just the structure of his ear. No, and I don't know about the anatomy of all that, but I know the lack of language at that early stage impacts child development.
Right, and if he
and
couldn't hear,
critical.
If he couldn't hear, then of course it would impact his language development.
Yes.
Had nothing whatsoever to do with his brain.
That's
wow.
Right. Well, it does. It affects the brain because from what I've been reading, you know, when the brain doesn't use things, it loses them.
Right.
So you're losing that language that you need that's so critical come later
right.
on.
But when you can't hear through an infected yep. ear, then you're
yep.
not going to develop at the same speed those language your language is not going to be developing. I remember that I couldn't hear out of one ear, and you can't. If you can't hear something, you're not going to learn it. Oh,
that's
and
right.
such a critical yeah. age.
Yeah.
Oh, bless his yeah. little heart.
Yeah, yeah. That really impacted his growth and learning, and yes, very sad, really.
Yes,
I feel quite responsible for that.
Now you I'm not going to let you do that.
Thank you.
No, not in this program. For you're a hero, mom, as far as I'm concerned. So and moms do that. We think, oh, if I'd only done this, if I'd only done that, but we can't do that. We all do the best that we possibly can, and that's what you did. So you can't go back and say, you know, don't take any, don't feel guilty. You certainly have no. No cause to feel any guilt at all. So, okay, we're going to take a short 3-minute break and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale.
If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead.
All righty, we are back. And our guest today is Lois Letchford. Her website is loisletchford.com. And she is the author of Reversed, a memoir. It is available everywhere books are sold. And it is available in paperback, hardcover, and ebook. And anyone that has an interest in humanity, in children, should read this book, because it's just a book that offers hope and example. It's just a lovely book, and I do hope that that you will buy the book and read it. And okay, so we're talking about children, and a very good friend of mine said a few years back, we refer to young people as children, not kids. They're not goats, they are children. And I think that's important when we're talking about young people, that we accord them the respect of being a child and not a kid.
Yes.
So
they come to us with a lot of knowledge.
Yes,
with their
they
own
do.
Little experience, and we have to expand on that and take them from where they are, not where
yes.
we would like them to be.
Yes. So what? So after this second grade schedule that they had him that they gave to you, which that would have been overwhelming for any child.
Yes, second grade, the teacher, the classroom teacher was brilliant. I still love her. Nicholas doesn't actually remember her, but she was wonderful. It was the reading teacher who was caused more of the problems and was more rigid and had more of the fixed mindset.
Mm.
So, when we went to Oxford in the second half of 1995, I actually repeated what the reading teacher was doing. It was a total failure. So it really caused me to stop and say, do something differently. And thankfully, my mother-in-law was with me saying, make learning fun. And that was the start of the transformation. And I'm still amazed at what happened and just tapping into Nicholas's curiosity and seeing this boy with this incredible brain.
Yes.
We judge children by their speech. Because he was slow with speech, we think he cannot think.
Amazing.
And that's a fallacy. And once you tap into his mind was going 100 miles an hour, and I'm seeing maybe 2% of it.
Wow.
That's the way I see him today.
What was initially a challenge of moving to Oxford really was a blessing in disguise because of what you were able to achieve, particularly with the help of your husband, Chris's parents, and their support. And so it was really a wonderful, good thing. Amazing.
This is where I have a little chuckle. Because we caught the bus outside of Christchurch, Oxford, and Christchurch is one of the 20-odd colleges in Oxford. And that was the Abingdon bus, because we lived in Abingdon about 20 minutes, I think, south of Oxford. And we didn't have a car, so we did everything by bus. And we would catch the bus and we get off at Christchurch and get on at Christchurch, and you never go into Christchurch. And if you want a story to start in one place and finish in another, when my son goes back to Oxford to do his PhD, his college is Christchurch.
Oh, my gosh.
Did you pick that up in the book, or did that?
No, I didn't, but that is just incredible. And I often say there really are not any coincidences. There are just places that we should be and times that we should be at those places that are meaningful and not coincidental.
I have to agree with you.
That is really amazing.
I wonder how many people actually realize that. Because it's, in a way, it's subtle in the book. In a way, it's obvious. Mm-hmm. But another way, it's quite subtle.
Mm-hmm. Now,
yes,
before
Oxford,
before you left, and you did watch that television program about a new start, and it's ANSUA for short.
Yes.
Your husband didn't view Nicholas in the same way. Why do you think that is?
My husband's an academic, and he's a mathematician. And when Nicholas was tested, they put him in the lowest category possible. Mm-hmm. And my husband understands the mathematics behind it, and he said, that's just Nicholas isn't like that. He can look like that on any given day, I think is what he said. And he could see Nicholas's spatial awareness, the way he did puzzles and the way he could build, and his concentration. So kid who can do all of those things. But what wasn't acknowledged, and even through that test, is that Nicholas had a language problem. And when you have a language problem, and it's like
speaking in a foreign language, and we're going to test you in the foreign language. How well can you achieve in that foreign language?
Of course. And the puzzles. He was great at doing puzzles and really big puzzles, not just, you know, elementary kinds of puzzles, but he was fabulous at doing this. And what else did he like to do that was kind of an amazing thing for somebody that was considered that couldn't be educated?
One of Nicholas's big strengths was his concentration, his ability to stick at a task, even then. It was quite astounding. And they were the biggest things, I think, you know, the concentration and the spatial awareness as a little child. But, you know, even today, as he's married and his wife is, you know, living with him and sometimes despairs, he's this boy who has enormous discrepancies, not just a few. You know, in his spatial awareness, he sits on the 90th to the 99th percentile, and language is the absolute opposite extreme. Hello?
Oh, you cut out just a little bit. Yes, you cut out just a little bit.
I thought so.
Yes. What did you say about language?
His language sits in the lowest percentiles, under 10% in some of his language skills.
Still?
Yes.
He's a thinker.
He's a thinker. Definitely
yes,
a thinker.
Yes, he's a thinker. Huh.
So it causes some challenges, but, you know, he takes them in his stride and he works incredibly hard around the problems that he presents and he has. So I just take my hat off to him and think, you know, you'll get there, someone will see your strength, we'll get through this again.
Right. Now, one of the individuals, Susan, she was not a very nice person.
There's a moral in the story, isn't there?
Yes, oh gosh. And the implication was, she said, oh well, you and your husband are both smart. You will have to accept that Nicholas is not like you. In layman's terms, she is saying he's dumb, thick as a brick. Quote unquote. What a terrible thing to imply to parents. And what if you had believed that?
I'm just sitting here nodding my head. You are absolutely right. What if we had believed it? And what if we hadn't had the time in Oxford? Because the school believed it.
Right. And how many parents have been told this and have believed it because they're listening to authority figures and they didn't think it through and didn't analyze their child and look at his other abilities and say, now wait a minute, I'm going to really go against this. This is not the child that I know he is. He can do all of these other things. But if parents believe this about their child, that child gets lost in the system. They often end up having a terrible life, for one thing, and getting into trouble.
Yeah.
And it's because they were different and their differences were not appreciated. They did not, the teachers did not look at them in the same way. They looked at them as if to say, he's dumb. There's no chance.
That's right. Yeah, that's exactly right. And it takes, it takes quite a lot to stand up against the force of evidence that school brings to you.
Oh, absolutely. Because as I say, they're authority figures and they're supposed to know what they're doing, and they've had this education, be able to educate people. And I've studied quite a bit about government schools, and they have certain statistics and certain principles and policies that they have to follow, and they are, after all, government schools. They are not looking out for each individual child. They have certain policies, and if you don't fit into what they consider the norm, then they consider you as not being able to be educated. And how many children fall through the cracks and end up in society as people who are unsuccessful or maybe even criminal, who end up in the prison system? What a terrible waste of talent.
I wonder what would have happened to Nicholas if we hadn't had the time in Oxford, because I think he would have committed suicide. I think something dramatic would have happened. You know, I don't know. It's just too hard to even contemplate.
Well, if he is still unable to talk about this at the age of 30, if it's that traumatic, I'm sure you're right.
Yes.
That he would have done something desperate. He felt desperate just in the first grade, I believe.
Yes, he was. He was desperate in the first grade. He couldn't dress himself. He couldn't do a thing. You know, that's why I said I should have taken him out of school in that year. And I know this because I recently talked to him. I spent time with him and his wife last year. And I speak to them every week. But when I was with them, I was recording little bits of him and talking explicitly about what do you remember about these times. And that, you know, the first year in school he couldn't talk about. But then he said, I remember all the poems you wrote. And I remember that silly poem we did, and I wrote a spell. I wrote a spell for the witch's brew. And he's 30, and he still remembers that. And that's the change that needed to happen.
Right.
And I was so surprised that here's me writing these silly poems and thinking, oh, they're just funny things, but that he has a memory of them.
Right.
And that was the transformation that was so important. And the difference in his demeanor is phenomenal. You know, he's crying about grade one and laughing and smiling. And that poem, he said, I can't remember what we did, but he said it was so funny. And I remember him reacting to it and showing this, his ingredients, his spells to people as they came to the door and just laughing over it. And that's his memory. And it, you know, it showed me how important the learning, what we're doing with children is.
Mm-hmm.
That they do, that it's an emotional component that goes alongside it. When they're failing and can't do it, it's a depression and it's sadness. When they're enjoying it and loving it and writing from it, you've got the entirely opposite child coming about.
Right. I've thought a lot about some experiences that I had in school and mm-hmm. some of the things that teachers said. Not to me, but to other people.
But to others.
To other children. And I remember in the sixth grade, Mrs. Brown, she was a lovely woman. She was a very nice woman. And IQ tests were very, they placed a great deal of importance on IQ tests. And I scored very high. And she, one day in class, she targeted this other child, Gary. I'm not going to say his last name. But she said, and he was the cut up of the class. He was funny, and he was really funny. But he wasn't a good student, but he was just kind of the class clown. And she said, would you believe that Gary and Deanna have the same IQ, and look at how Gary acts? In front of a class of probably, 30 students. We'll be right back.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
All righty, we are back, and our guest is Lois Letchford. Her website is loisletchford.com. And I was telling this story because what she did in that class, what this nice teacher did in that class, was destroy whatever was left of Gary's self-esteem, I think. And I always remembered that, and I think, wow. I even at the age of whatever I was in the sixth grade, that I remember that story, and I thought, what a shame. That could have destroyed him for the rest of his school career, that he, that was so terrible to me. Yes, teachers can do that.
And we remember it.
Yes, I did. And it wasn't even about me. It was about somebody else. And I think that I don't. I'm sure she must have been well. I can't attribute that to her. It doesn't seem well-meaning to me at all. And she should have known better.
Yeah.
But I think teachers sometimes do that. I don't know whether she was trying to. That was discouragement to me. There's no way you could say that was encouragement to Gary. And I often wonder what happened to Gary.
Yes.
But tell us a little bit about the organization that you went to. What was it called?
ANSUA.
Right.
Yes, it's what you do when you're absolutely desperate.
Right.
You know, you're looking, and I think I'm looking for ways around the problem. And so we went to these people. And you know, what they were doing is actually not bad. You know, building up the muscle tone and having them do all of the physical exercises, very much like OT, and strengthening the fingers by popping bubbles, what do you call that stuff, the plastic bubble wrap. That strengthens the pencil grip fingers. And all of that is very good. The only problem is you cannot then make the jump. It's going to help them learn to read. That's the problem. But everything else that they did was very beneficial. And Nicholas ended up doing monkey bars and getting very strong shoulders, which led to his career as a swimmer in high school. So
right. So yes. And when she was talking to you, it was Miss Marjorie.
Yes.
You told her about the ear infections and that he was a late talker, and probably because of those ear infections. And didn't they also do some training like moving of the legs and the arms and that kind of thing?
We did. And we did those exercises morning and night for about 6 months.
Wow.
My husband and I. Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. 30 minutes morning and 30 minutes a night. I mean, it might have been very good for Nicholas. I think it wasn't very good for my other two sons. And it's something we shouldn't have read. That was wasted.
Yes.
But,
okay.
You know.
We're at the top of the hour. We will be right back. So stay with us, and we'll be right back and continue our conversation with this wonderful mother.
Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.